Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock.
Ya got Hart. Ya got Fitzy. Ya got Tech.
Plus, you got Adam Schefter at 3:45.
We're doing our top five horny characters. We didn't even bring up Adam Schefter.
Horny Adam Schefter
is
a good candidate.
It's another
good
character.
Call.
Forgot all about him.
Schefter can, either give us some insight.
How close maybe the Pats were on a deal?
Or perhaps make some excuses out there. Again, Giardi said today the Patriots were interested in Jalen Phillips. He went for a third-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. Supposedly teams in the AFC East. And Mike Vrabel's former employer, the Tennessee Titans, did not want to do business with the Patriots, which I find believable. I just don't think it's an acceptable excuse. There's tons of other teams in the league. And there were players on other teams who moved yesterday, including two out wide receiver in Shaheed and Myers. And I'm not even saying those were targets I felt like the Patriots had to get. But don't tell me, well, the Jets and Dolphins and Titans wouldn't trade with you. So what were they supposed to do? Their hands were tied. How are they supposed to make any trades? No. Guys moved. A linebacker on Cincinnati moved. So I think there were other ways to make a move if they wanted to. And I also hear people saying, well, the Bills didn't do anything. And the Chiefs didn't do anything. Baltimore didn't do anything. In the case of the Chiefs and the Bills, for sure, I'd have to double-check Baltimore. They didn't subtract. You subtracted.
No, Baltimore added. Didn't they get the guy from Tennessee, the linebacker, or the edge rusher from Tennessee?
I thought maybe they shipped a piece out. Didn't they ship out Jair Alexander as well? So maybe there was a little
They got rid of him.
A little buying and selling going on, maybe.
Yeah.
So Baltimore's maybe a little more complex. I'd have to look closer. But Kansas City, Buffalo, they at least didn't subtract from their team.
Baltimore moved Adafe Owe a couple weeks ago.
There you go, him too. So again, Baltimore might be different, but stick with the Bills and Chiefs. They weren't subtracting. You subtracted.
Yeah, and Draymond Jones from the Titans for a fifth-round pick. Conditional fifth-round pick.
Teams in the AFC got better. The Colts got better. You could say they gave up too much. I don't know why you're worried about the Colts' future first-round picks. You should be worried about them this year with Sauce Gardner. If you're a Colts fan, I get worrying about their first-round picks. I don't get why any Patriots fan right now would worry about the Colts' first-round picks. They got better.
Yeah.
They might get the bye week. They might be the one seed because you subtracted and they got better.
Well, that's what I
The Jaguars got better with Jakobi Meyers.
That's why I have a hard time squaring away is, like, if you're going to point to the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Broncos, I don't think the Broncos did anything either.
Mm-mm.
But did any of them get rid of players? Like, did any of them shed some of the depth that they had? So, like, I found that odd. I found that you got rid of a couple of guys, and then you kind of stood pat after that and didn't bring anybody else in. So I was disappointed. Yesterday at this time, we were just a couple hours away from the deadline. We all said we wanted them to make a move. We didn't say, hey, mortgage the future, trade everything. You have to win this year. You'll never win again. Nope, nobody's saying that. I'm also not saying that they can't still go on a run and still play well. But I thought that you could just kind of shore up a few things and just give your team the best chance going forward. They didn't do that. So now they're going to have to really, really bank on health because if they lose a guy at any of these spots, like, they got nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The Patriots can still contend this year, I think. But I think they would have given themselves a better chance by making a move. I think the AFC is wide open. Some teams seized on that, Indianapolis specifically.
Yeah.
Jaguars to a lesser degree. And you didn't. And I just think that's frustrating. I wasn't asking to give up two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. I wasn't asking to give up a first-rounder for Quinnen Williams. But something like Jalen Phillips, a third-rounder, which would be at the end of the third round, you know, so like a late day three pick.
Yeah.
Or certainly,
that's a good
I'm
get
sorry,
by
a
the
late
Eagles.
Day two pick, rather. Or a day three pick, a fourth, a fifth, or a sixth. I think you can still contend this year and not defer from your big picture vision,
yeah,
or deviate too much from your original plan by trading day three picks or late day two picks. Like, I don't really think that changes things all that much.
So even if you don't want to get in like the hypotheticals of like players who didn't get traded, which doesn't mean that they wouldn't have for the right offer, but let's just keep it to the players that were traded. Jalen Phillips for a third round pick. And if it's just a third round pick versus Philly's third round pick, and they say, you know what, we're going to get him out of the division and we're going to take Philly. But then you have a million six-round picks. You still have seventh-round picks. What if you say, hey, we're going to give you our third, which is probably going to be pretty similar to Philly's.
It's right, then, as of right now, it would be the third-to-last pick of the round, and Philly would be the second-to-last pick of the round.
But now we're also going to toss in a sixth or a seventh. The old sweetener, as the GMs call it. That gets the deal done.
They have four six-rounders. Well, no, Keith, because that ruins your big-picture outlook.
Oh,
if you trade any of your sixth-round picks, that's stupid, and you're now worried about next year. You're too worried about this year and not – focused enough on the long-term plan. If you trade any of those four six-round picks, that's dumb.
Yeah, good point.
So, to me,
you gotta hold on to those.
I don't get why you'd ever hold on to your six-round picks like desperately for dear life when you have four of them. I don't get that anyways.
Right.
But in a year where you're better than you probably expected and you're ahead of schedule, to trade some day three capital to try to help the team, I just think would have looked good. I just think that would have represented well for your fan base and for your team. And I think the AFC is wide open, and I think you can contend even as currently constituted. I haven't changed my view on that.
Yeah, no.
I just am disappointed in yesterday. And I'm starting to wonder if they believe as much as we do in their ability to contend this year. Because if you're more worried about your draft picks next year and your picks the year after that and drafting and developing in the big picture program, if you're more worried about that than this year, that doesn't sound to me like somebody who believes in this team this year.
Yeah, it's like you're ahead of schedule, but you're also keeping the same schedule. It's like we're way in front.
I mean, we thought we were going to be.
We criticize
the Red Sox for this all the time. And I get the deadlines are different in different sports.
Yeah, right.
But we constantly are like, hey, Red Sox, you're in it. Go do something. Like, wake up and do something. We say that about them all the time. The Patriots are better than they thought. You have a real chance at being the number one seed in the AFC, having a bye week, home field advantage to the Super Bowl, and you can't part with some day three picks. Like,
it's very strange.
Beyond frustrating.
Yeah, it's very strange. And I just think they've been pretty fortunate to be as healthy as they've been so far this year. But you've already started to see it the last couple of weeks. You know, Ramondre Stevenson goes down, and now Terrell Jennings is not only active, but he's getting a bunch of carries. You know, Kayshon Boutte goes down for a half or a little bit more. And now Kyle Williams, who maybe one day will be good, but like right now he's not. He's not a factor on the offense. He gets a million snaps. Not a million snaps. He plays about like half the snaps in the game. It didn't do anything.
Way more than I thought. 30 plus snaps.
Way more than you would have noticed. Yeah.
So let's hear from the head coach here, Mike Vrabel, hitting the podium.
One day you talked about doing your due diligence regarding trades. I'm wondering, were you close to making it?
What did I say on Monday? Because I forgot.
I said you were going to do your due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, were you close to making any deals, and is there any measure of disappointment?
Well, first I would say that deals are like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. There's no like, it's either a deal or it's not. So I don't know how close you can be. I know that everyone worked hard, and that we investigated and looked in and made phone calls, and they... what personnel departments do. And in the end, we decided that this was what we were going to do and decided to move forward with our preparation. Tampa, excellent football team, coming off a bye. A lot of really good veterans that have played at a high level for a lot of years and a really, really competitive quarterback who's never out of it. So, you know, that's where our focus is. You know, I know that there's a lot of action and a lot of talk, and again, it's kind of where we're at.
Mike, do you think it's difficult at all for the organization to sort of adhere to its plan when you guys are performing the way you're performing right now, at the top of the division and at the top of the conference, just to be a little bit more aggressive and try to capitalize on what's happening now?
No, I never really looked at it that way. I think we're trying to build a program, the same thing that we said when we got here, and I think that's part of building a program, is finding ways to win and building a team and figuring out where the pieces are that we can continue to add that, you know, when it makes sense. And so I don't think this is a negative. I don't think this is just where we're at. And, you know, I know they worked extremely hard to make calls and have conversations, and then in the end, you know, we didn't do anything.
With Kayshon's injury, is that a situation where you just like to slot in Kyle Williams, or could Pop get more snaps as well?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I think that if you know anything about the group, which I know that you guys do, you know, there's a lot of interchangeable parts. They play at different positions. They're in different spots. And that's not easy. I mean, that's not. You know, I mean, going from the Z in this personnel group to the X, and so I give those guys a lot of credit. I give Todd a lot of credit for being able to teach it in a manner that allows them to get lined up. And so, you know, that group, they'll all play. They'll all contribute. We'll see where Kayshon is at the end of the week, but he won't be out there today. And Ellis won't be out there, and Ramondre won't be out there today. So give other guys opportunities.
Who's the Stephon Diggs? How much has he helped change the culture that you wanted to change?
Well, I appreciate everything he does.
That's Mike Vrabel.
Oh, no.
At
We're losing
Gillette
Mike.
Says deals are like being pregnant, Keith.
I
agree with the text line that says, am I crazy or are deals absolutely nothing like
Not
being
like
pregnant?
Not like that at all, actually, I mean, Mike.
I've never been pregnant.
Same.
Brag.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a wild
I know
answer.
Somebody close to me who has. But, yeah, I would think that they would think it's different than the deals. So am I crazy in this?
Yeah.
So my take, we let me know if we get them cleared up again. We do.
Oh, all right.
Thumbs up. I'll circle back.
All right, more pregnant talk. Here we go.
On a day off, came into the building, lifted, which I thought is a really positive thing at this time of the year. And, we'll, you know, we'll talk to him about the season's really just getting started right now.
What challenges does Todd Bowles' defense present? How much has it evolved over the course of time?
Well, you know, I'm going to give Todd credit, but obviously the credit goes to the players. They've got veteran players that play physical. You know, two really aggressive corners. You know, obviously the safeties, playmakers with Winfield. But up front, you know, I mean, Vita and Reddick and Diaby. I mean, Levante David's been doing it at such a high level, you know. So again, credit to the players, and then what Todd adds is just a lot of pressure, great disguises, bringing multiple players from off the football. It's not just, you know, a linebacker. You could have a corner, you could have a safety, you could have the nickel, and the coverage changes, and you've seen them force a lot of turnovers, especially on third down when quarterbacks are making.
All right, Mike. Take a breather.
Honestly,
he's moved. I already heard what I wanted to hear. Anyway,
they
circle back to it. Fine.
Players and leadership.
If he's on the Tampa and their defense, like for big game this week, all due respect. What I was curious in was hearing the deadline stuff.
Yeah.
So let me just recap it quick, and then we can give you our thoughts. Karen asked him about the trade deadline. He said deals are like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't.
Because basically it was like, were you close to deals?
Yeah.
So it's like, how close are you to a deal? And it's like, there is no
and
close. It's
he
yes or no.
Said, we made phone calls. Like, this is like listening to the Red Sox, for God's sakes, at a trade deadline. But in the end, we decided this is what we're going to do and move forward in our preparations from Tampa. That's where our focus is. So that's like his warning.
I'll say it. I'm pregnant.
That's like his warning shot. At the end of that answer, Karen Garigian.
Yeah.
That's his warning shot to be like, I don't want to take many more questions on this. Phil Perry, to his credit, followed up. I'm not sure if anybody else has or will. But Phil followed up, and he's like, yeah, you have an organizational plan. And he's like, was there a feeling that you should be more aggressive, or however he worded it?
Mm-hmm.
And Vrabel said, well, we never really looked at it that way. He said, we're trying to build a program. And he hearkened back to like his introductory press conference.
Yeah, we get it.
Where he said, we're trying to build a program, which I want to circle back to. He says, I don't think this is a negative. I do. He said, this is just where we're at. We worked extremely hard. So, again, it's like, well, we tried. Hey, guys, we tried to make trades. We worked hard at it. I think that might even be like a Breslow comment that we've heard before. We all mock Breslow for it. Vrabel says it. I'm sure people will be like, yeah, they tried. What do you want him to do?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, your takeaway on those couple of answers from Vrabel today.
Well, do these contradict each other? So he says that everybody worked really hard. We were really aggressive in pursuing things, but we decided we didn't want to do anything. If you felt like your team was fine, and if you felt like you didn't need to add anything, what are you being so aggressive for?
Yeah, why were you burning up the phones?
Why are you calling everybody and like putting all your man hours
I'm sure their answer would be due diligence, but right, why are you working so hard for due diligence?
If you're good with the roster, you're good with the roster, right? And if you're working so hard, it made it sound like they were kind of calling teams and they were, you know, seeing what it took. But it feels like to me, it wasn't just like due diligence. It might have been asking prices that kind of said no to.
Right.
That's how I read that. Like, you can't have everybody full go in on this and then walk away with nothing and be like, but we decided to walk away.
Texter said, am I reading too much into it, or does Vrabel sound like he's frustrated they got nothing done?
I didn't really read it that way.
I didn't read it that way either, but that's an interesting read on it. Why would he be frustrated they didn't get anything done? He's the one in charge of personnel. So
yeah,
the only way he would be frustrated is if ownership got in the way and stopped them from making a deal.
I mean,
financial reasons, or refused to part with the draft capital or whatever, which I personally don't believe happened on this one.
No, I know.
I think ownership is very involved, but I would think that's more of a free agency thing than a deadline thing. We're not talking about a lot of big contracts that flew around. Jalen Phillips is a rental player. That's a player Giardi reported they're in on. I doubt ownership spiked that one. So the only person he'd reasonably be frustrated with is ownership.
Elliot Wolf, are a pathetic soy boy loser.
I mean,
holy
maybe, but I don't think Vrabel is frustrated with Elliot Wolf because Vrabel is telling Elliot Wolf what to do, not the other way around.
No, he's not frustrated with him. But I mean, I guess he could be frustrated with, you know, maybe teams around the league being like, well, we want a third round pick for this guy. And he's like, no. And then, you know, being frustrated that way.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm not going to overspend on a certain player.
Maybe. Yeah, but maybe he's frustrated with the Titans or the Dolphins or the Jets. I mean, fair. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe the Titans.
I don't know. I didn't read it that way either. I also think, I wish somebody followed up on this. I said this to you in real time, Keith. Phil asked a good question. Like, hey, you know, are you guys aggressive enough for lack of me having the question right in front of me? And he says, well, that's what we said when we got here. We're trying to build a program, which he did say when he got here.
Yeah.
You know what else he said? We want to compete for division championships and home playoff games and conference championships and Super Bowls. So, yeah, you are trying to build a program, but you're also trying to win. And you have an opportunity to win. And you said that on day one. You want to compete for all those things. So, look, I understand wanting to have a big window and to contend over a long period of time. And if you traded two first-round picks like the Colts did for Sauce Gardner,
as a big-time boomer bust.
Yeah, maybe there's a trade-off there.
Right.
You and I are not talking about that. Most fans that I've heard were not talking about first-round picks, even second-round picks. We're talking about a third-rounder plus for Jalen Phillips. Or we're talking about one of these wide receivers, Jacoby Myers or Rashid Shaheed, who moved for two day three picks.
Yeah.
Or we're talking about a linebacker from Cincinnati that moved for a seventh round pick. We're not talking about mortgaging your future.
No, no. And then the week earlier, you trade away two players, admittedly depth players that you and I aren't losing sleep over, and Kyle Duggar and Keon White. But it's like you had those guys. They made the team out of camp. They were on your team for 9 weeks. If something happened up front or something happened at safety, you at least knew you had them. You got rid of them for future late round picks, which obviously aren't going to help this year's team. And then you don't add anybody outside of like a, you know, waiver wire claim from, you know, practice squads. So I don't know. I think that combination makes it worse.
It is Jerry Rice's kid, though.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
But that's what makes it worse to me is it wasn't, you know, the Colts and the Cowboys went crazy. The Colts and the Cowboys made big time trades. A handful of other teams made some additions, like depth-type additions. This wasn't like watching, you know, the Seattle Mariners just pull your pants down at the trade deadline. It wasn't like that, right? But you're like, why did you cut a couple of players? Like, the Chiefs and the Bills didn't cut a couple of players or dump players for late-round picks, I don't think.
No. No, apparently to build a program, you have to trade players off your roster for six-round picks when you're 7-2.
Okay.
Like, apparently that's what you gotta do.
I guess so.
One other piece of news in there that we heard. He was asked about Kyle Williams and his contributions, and he kind of gave like a nonsense, all-encompassing, all our receivers are interchangeable, and oh, by the way, Todd Downing does a great job answer.
Yeah.
But he let you know Booty's not practicing today, and it sounds like he's not playing this week if I was reading between the lines.
Yeah.
Also, no Stevenson or Christian Ellis out there today.
Yeah, no surprise. I mean, Booty, I know he updated his Discord, but it is a hamstring injury. You want to be kind of careful with that. I mean, Stevenson missed a game, didn't practice at all last week and missed the game. So I'm not shocked that he's not back out there. And then Christian Ellis left the game, hip injury, didn't join us on Monday. Usually when players are hurt, they don't have them do the interviews. So you kind of had a feeling that that might be a injury, at least for a few days. We'll see how it goes.
And by the way, Tampa's dealing with injuries. I don't know if we've said this. Billy's had it in trending, but no Bucky Irving and no
Chris Godwin.
Thank you, Godwin, for Tampa.
And Mike Evans on IR.
And they're coming off a bye week, so yeah, you'd expect those guys to be practicing. One more comment from Vrabel.
Okay.
I guess they did circle back to the trade deadline and the suggestion about long-term planning. He said winning is the most important thing.
No doubt.
For us to sit here and say the window is wide open, talking about the playoffs, we're focused on our 10th game in a row. So there's more there from Mike Vrabel, which I'm sure we'll circle back to tomorrow here on Jones and Keefe. Anything else, updates? We can get it to you before the end of the show. You got WEEI Afternoons coming your way at 2 o'clock. Yeah, got Hart. Yeah, got Fitzy. Yeah, got Ted. We'll get you the clip du jour.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.